And turn in scriptures to the last book of scripture, and Revelation chapter 21. And this morning we'll be reading verses 1 through 8, Revelation 21. And know that what you hear is the very word of the living God. Revelation 21, verse 1. This is God's word. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And He who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And He said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Then He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. For the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And that is God's word. And so as we come again to the end of Revelation and now the new heavens and the new earth, we must mention there is a great parallel between the creation account in Genesis and here this account at the end of Scripture of the new heavens and the new earth. And hopefully you can see that, because we're not able now, at least in our time, to go into detail about the connections. We must be reminded here of the theme of Revelation, that Christ is victorious and the church in Christ is victorious, though the church may seem, even at this time or other times, to seem defeated or look defeated. And Satan and the wicked here, we've seen already, are destroyed. In this chapter and the start of the next chapter, we'll find described as the redeemed universe of the future, as foreshadowed by the redeemed church of the present. And the verses that we see, the first heaven, the first earth, have passed away. That is what we experience now. And what we have is a picture of the new universe. And not an other universe, but a new universe. It is the same heaven and earth, but gloriously rejuvenated. No weeds or thorns or thistles. Everything has been purified. There's no more sin. There's no more wrong. There's no more traces of death. There's no more sea. There's no more waters of the sea. The universe of the dragon, the false prophet, the beast, and the harlot, which we are experiencing now, here is pictured as vanished. And the new Jerusalem that it describes is not the earthly Palestinian one in the land, the nation of Israel today, but this is a holy, separated from sin and consecrated to God Jerusalem. And this new Jerusalem is the church of Jesus Christ. For there it says, verse 2, she's called the bride, as the church is called elsewhere, like Ephesians 5. And it comes down from heaven. And we see that the church is from God. The church is the result of the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. And we also see the same language of chapter 19. And there, the marriage supper of the Lamb, we find it here, pictured for us. And here is Yahweh's presence stressed as He tabernacles among His people, and the promise is fully realized that they shall be His people. We shall have Him as our God. And we'll be in His presence forever and ever. It says God, end of verse 3, "They shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them." And so because of that, death will be no more, neither mourning, nor crying, nor pain, nor anything of the first things. All those things have passed away. All the things that we experience in our life today, those sad things or pain or whatever it is, all those will be done away with. And it's God in Christ who makes all things new through the Spirit. He alone can restore and renew man and the universe. And we sit here and we are thinking about the whole comprehensiveness of this. We can scarcely imagine what that means. What does this mean? What does it really mean to be among a new universe? What does it mean to be in the very presence of God, face to face with Jesus? What does it mean that there will be no more sin? What does it mean that there will be no more pain or tears? Who can comprehend that? And obviously the answer is no one. But thankfully it does not depend on the one who understands, but on the God who promises, the God who here it says is faithful and true, and the true and faithful, so true and so faithful is He, that these promises that they're written in Scripture here are written as though they had already happened. That's how true they are. They've already happened in some sense. And the word it says it has already happened. It's a done deal. And these verses end with the promise of verse 6. He says, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is, as we've seen in the last chapter, the second death." Let's pray. Our Father, we call upon You, knowing that You are the great God, a holy God, but a loving, faithful God, a true God, the one who is perfect in every way. And here You are calling us to Yourself, that the waters, or the picture is that the waters, the living water, like we learned about with the Samaritan woman, that living water is pouring forth from the very throne, and it's going out, and all that it touches brings life, as we see in the book of Ezekiel, and as we see here, and as we'll see in as we see in John, we see here, and even the next chapter, that if we take hold of this living water and drink of Jesus Christ, we will live forever. And there'll be for us no more pain or tears or sorrow. But we'll be in the new heavens and the new earth on the last day. That second death will have no power over us. Satan will have no power over us. And we'll be with You, face to face with You forever and ever. And so, Father, we ask that You would give this living water and that You would cause us to partake of it, to partake of Your Son by faith. And, Father, let none here be of this multitude of great number of people who, like in verse 8, are all the idolaters and sorcerers and adulterers and sexual immoral and all these people, all liars. Let us not be such people. Let's not be counted amongst such people, for those will experience the fire and the brimstone of the lake of fire. They will experience the second death that will last forever, eternal destruction and eternal punishment forever and ever. And let us give us hearts that long to see people saved from such a death, that they would have what we have, the life that comes from the living water, Jesus Christ. Father, take away our pain and take away our tears and our sorrow. Take away this present evil age from us and bring us into Your presence. Father, again, we are very thankful that You have done this for Your people. As we come and we celebrate that today through the birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, and You're sitting on the throne now, You're coming on the last day to judge the world, we celebrate that today on the Lord's Day, the day of resting in You. We ask that you would cause us to delight in you in all things, that all of our pleasure would be found not in the things of this world, but in everything to do with you and only you. And that you would be glorified through our worship. Now, Father, we know that in this present evil age, this earth, this heaven, that there is pain, there is cancer, and there is broken bones and tendons, and people who are sick and have fevers. We ask that you would be with them this day. Father, we ask that soon it would be that you would bring for the whole congregation to meet Lillian and children, and cause us to be thankful for them, that you have brought them here, and that they would be thankful to you for your provision of keeping your promises and being faithful to your people. Thank you for answering our prayers. You always answer our prayers, and we thank you for that. You've always remained faithful because you are the faithful and true God. And so hear us, hear our prayers, and answer us according to your perfect plan, your will, and your decree. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.